Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus, and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Hello and welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday to you all. Gosh, we've had some rather groundbreaking news just within the last 20 minutes of the Scottish leader of the SNP resigning due to his, well, him pulling out of the deal, the Butte agreement that he had with the Greens. So that's quite hot off the press news. I think the essence of that was that really, he'd committed to something when it comes to being in partnership with the Greens on sustainability, and then decided it perhaps wasn't best for the party, and pulled away from it, and then lost his voting confidence. So I think that's quite interesting. It's quite a good sign, I think, in terms of grand scheme politics, and that sustainability is becoming more of a important part of the political agenda. I remember years and years ago, in 2006 or 2007, just after my TV debut on Living on the Landfill for Channel 4's Dumped, that I don't think there was any mainstream news about what we now know as the climate crisis. There was no mainstream news on it at all. You'd occasionally get The Guardian, you know, doing a little something, but definitely not the BBC or these mainstream institutional channels, which people are describing as legacy media now, and perhaps it's media of the past. There's certainly lots of new independent groundbreaking media that's coming to the forefront, that's taking over. So hopefully this is one of those radio shows. So thank you for joining me today. I've got a wonderful guest today, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise or burst the bubble yet. So let's just start with a little bit more news. So as you know, my wife and I, Katie, is the editor of our magazine, My Green Pod. And we had our Earth Day issue out exactly a week ago on the 22nd, which is the official global Earth Day. And the magazine had loads of amazing articles in it. So if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, do go to mygreenpod.com. You can get a free copy of the magazine to download. But I just wanted to give you a very quick overview of some of the articles that have gone live on the website, which are also featured in the magazine, just to give you a little taste of what you can get from it. So let's have a look. So there's an article called The Glucose Hack, which I know will appeal to many of you that are concerned about your health. It's particular article is by a company that produce an apple cider vinegar drink, and it says, introducing the easy way to get organic apple cider vinegar into your daily routine. So that's an article called The Glucose Hack. There's another one which is fantastic. It's by Jonathan Poet, who is one of our, well, he's one of the pioneers, which we would today call a thought leader. And I would call him just an absolute legend. One of the early climate activists of our time. He was CEO of Friends of the Earth, pre-Tony Juniper. And he's just been an amazing advocate for sustainability and change amongst activists, amongst business, and even amongst the politicians. So he's an amazing person. He's got an article called It's Not Easy Being a Solutionist, which is absolutely what's required right now. The article goes on to say, Jonathan Poet explores whether hope has been politicized and how we can avoid falling into despair. So that's going to be a really interesting read. There's another article by the amazing Tammy Scarlett, who is the CEO of Unify. Now, Unify, the organization that galvanized, mass mobilized millions and millions of people, I think 500 million people, for a collective meditation on world Peace Day. They actually hold the Guinness World Record for the most people meditating at the same time. That's been obviously audited or quantified or, attached to a system that could be monitored. There may have been others that we don't know about. But her article is the world about to begin again? And it says inspirational leader Tammy Scarlett explores what a new era could look like and how we might get there. So that's going to be fascinating article. There's loads of others. There's an article in there by Janie Lee Grace, who is a fellow presenter on UK Health Radio. Her article is natural beauty expert Janie Lee Grace reveals the brands to support for earth friendly beauty. There's others by there's Earth Day Plastics by the sensational model twins Brett and Scott Staniland, who they reveal why the plastics problem is also a fashion problem. So that's going to be interesting. And there's a lot more. The last one I'll end on before we introduce today's guest is we always put in each article the top five switches that you can do in your life in order to live more sustainably and perhaps become a solution to this issue we're calling a climate crisis rather than contributing to the problem. So these are five simple switches for April, because obviously that's when the magazine has come out. Plus there's some other stuff. There's some My Green Pod Hero products in there for the season as well. But the five switches are green your money. Calculate the carbon footprint of your banks, pensions, and bills, and switch to a greener solution using the Mother Tree switching service. So that's massive. In fact, that's probably the one that's going to have the most single impactful transition for you, is becoming less carbon intensive and more sustainable. Second one is ditch plastic water bottles. That's an obvious one. You can get a Coldstream under-counter water purification system at home, which will clean up your water, and of course it's refillable. Ditching plastic water bottles is a good thing to do. This is an interesting one: swap bottles for bars. So rather than buying shampoo in a bottle, which of course is shipped with water and often in plastic, etc., you can get a Kind 2 solid shampoo bar, and there are other brands available. If you go to mygreenpod.com, you will see those brands that we recommend that are about the best you can possibly find. There's another one. This is interesting. Grow your own. So forget cut flowers wrapped in plastic cellophane. Grow your own stems to bring into the house or leave in the garden. Created by conservation scientist Seedball, they take the hassle out of growing bee and butterfly friendly wildflowers. So essentially, you pay a few quid, you get sent the seeds. They're all wrapped in this substance, a natural plant-based substance that will keep the bugs away from eating the seeds so that they can grow and do their thing. And the last, but by no means least, and we know this is probably the most important subject for us Westerners in the UK, is toilet paper. So try and get recycled loo roll. There's a company called Honest Supplies. They offer generous rolls of triple quilted, plastic-free, and 100% recycled toilet paper. They're also bleach-free, unbleached, etc., etc. I know lots of you are buying bamboo toilet paper, but actually, recycled is the best paper, and unbleached is certainly the best of that version. So there's a few tips for you to just get on board with living sustainably. There's loads of other stuff you can do. I bet there's loads of stuff you're already doing. So if you've got some tips and you want to share them with me because you think I've totally missed the ball, then do drop us an email. You can go to the UK Health website. You can join the contact form or drop us an email. As all the links are there. Send us in your things that you're doing in your lifestyle that are becoming and changing the world for a better place. So here we are. Brings us to today's guest. I'm super excited because this person has been in my life now for, probably around a decade or so, but not where we've known each other. We've just kind of known of each other. She's been involved in an organization that I was heavily involved with, which we could hopefully talk about. But I'd like to introduce you today to Pollyanna Darling. Now, Pollyanna, and I'm going to read this out to you because I just love the way it was written. Pollyanna has been trying to bend the shape of reality with words since she was a tiny girl. She's fascinated by what it is to be human and how we can live well on every level, despite the stressors and rabid distractions of the 21st century life. She spent over 2 decades exploring personal development modalities, including a few deep dives down esoteric rabbit holes. We're definitely going to get into that. She made a heartfelt promise to the planet after the second time she nearly died, a promise to dedicate her life to seeing the Earth thrive. Her working life is focused on contributing her skills and energy to organizations that are moving the needle on planetary health. Pollyanna is also a radically amateur singer and podcaster, mother of 4 vigorous young men. Wow, that must have kept you busy. Keen green thumb and daring racer of stand-up paddleboards. She lives on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. She's now in the UK, thankfully. Her latest book, Bedridden to Buff, was released in March 2024. Pollyanna, welcome to Lean Into Clean.
Thank you so much, Jarvis. I'm really happy to be here.
I loved your bio. What do you think now you've heard it back? What's missing, if anything, from that you think people should know about you?
Not very little, actually.
Oh, good. So, is your current project? I mean, it sounds like you've got your hands full on all kinds of levels. But when was the book written, Bedridden to Buff?
It took me a year to write it, so a lot of people had asked me how it was that last year I came to win medals and overcome a whole lot of injuries, and they asked me to write my story. And so I sat down to write it, and I wrote it in a very ordinary way to begin with, and I just found it so boring that I deleted the whole thing and found a different way to do it that was actually creatively very satisfying, but also I hope that it sows seeds for people that might germinate that will help people who are in chronic pain or in a shitty place in their life right now.
Yeah, so I mean, let's just explore the title for a minute. So clearly, we all know what bedridden is. You were in bed for you'll tell me all the reasons why in a minute. But then bedridden to buff. So what's the buff bit? I mean, I understand that to be fit and healthy and just really at the top of your game. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, although when we talked about this before, I remembered that in some, maybe in America, buff means naked, which I hadn't thought of before, but
Oh,
I like,
it does. I do. So now you are paddleboarding naked then. Is that the
No.
thing?
No, so I just liked it because of the alliteration, but it's funny because some people have said to me whilst giving me a bit of side eye, "Oh, so you think you're buff, do you?" I'm like, it's the, I just like the way it sounds. It's
Yeah, I think it's a great word. My daughter's 16-year-old, she used the word buff about guys that she fancied that were, if we say fit, we mean, healthy and fit and toned and whatever. They mean fit as in, oh, good looking or, lovely. So there's lots of variations of buff, but that's very clear what your buff means. So thank you.
It means, muscly and healthy, and because I became an athlete at 50, which I never imagined was even possible.
That's amazing. That is amazing. So tell me about where did it all start? Why were you bedridden? What was going on in your life and when was it?
So I had a car crash in 2012 that I didn't get any treatment for, and I had a terrible, terrible whiplash injury that healed very badly, and another injury to my spine in 2015, maybe. And then in 2017, my back just went, no, that's it. Sorry, I've had enough. And I herniated a disc, and all the rest of it got very unhappy. And I was stuck in bed for 6 months and crocheting face washes and listening to podcasts. And yeah, that's where it all began. But
Gosh, you must have been. I mean, knowing you, and I don't know you that well, but I know enough about you to know that you're incredibly energized, full of life, full of zest. That must have been a tricky time for
it
you.
was hard. It was really hard. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is because the version of me that was in bed in 2017 w could have really used a book like that, like read that little book. It's just a little book, because it was difficult to not be despairing, because when you when you end up in bed and you can't really do anything, your life gets incredibly small. So I couldn't walk the dog. I couldn't do any gardening. I couldn't go to the beach. I couldn't do anything with my kids. I was miserable. I just stayed in the bedroom. I had to, move every kind of hour or so because I was uncomfortable. And, your head goes a bit crazy when you can't exercise, you can't get out, you can't do all the things you want to do. And I did struggle with, is this it? Is this what my life is going to be now? I'm just going to be in bed and unable to do stuff. And it turns out it wasn't it.
Good.
I'm still here and
Yeah.
I'm out of bed, but it was a long journey to get from that to winning. I won two golds and a silver in a national stand-up paddleboard competition last year, which just blew my mind completely because it's quite remarkable that what the body can do. And then it's a whole other level to go and compete in a sport when you've been, badly injured and bedridden.
Well, let's get into that, but let's not wind forward that quickly.
Okay.
What was the, I mean, was there a pivotal, I mean, having four sons around you, that must have been, quite amazing in a sense that, they were driving you to get healthy again. But what was the pivotal moment for you? Was there one or two or three or, any moments that you just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to get up and out of the bed. What is there anything that just really jolted you into action?
I don't think so. I'm a kind of persistent little sod, really, and so
Good.
you can push me down and I'll just find a way to get back up again. So I think I just didn't want to give up. Like I didn't want to give up, and part of that was definitely to do with my children, because
Yeah, I
in
can imagine.
2015 my youngest son was about 5 or 6, and it's terrible being in bed when you've got four boys and they want attention, they want to do things and they want to go places. So I just kept looking for someone who could help me, and eventually I found somebody who helped me. It took a long time, but
So just talk me through that. So you're in bed, you're bedridden as you described. You know you've got to get out of this, you're persistent. What were you doing? Looking on internet, speaking to people? Like what were you looking for even?
I
Like
tried every kind of modality. I tried physio, I tried acupuncture, I tried
Okay.
massage, I tried spiritual this, that, and the other thing. I tried Bowen therapy and like everything you can think of. And a lot of times people made it worse.
Yeah, I
And
did.
eventually I found this guy who practiced something called orthobionomy, which is very gentle. My nervous system needs something very gentle because it's gets alarmed quite easily because of my childhood. And I found this guy who did orthobionomy, and at the beginning the orthobionomy sessions caused more pain but of a different kind, and then gradually my body learned to shift into a different way of being
So, what's the process that of that particular remedy?
of orthobionomy. It's a body work where they do these moves, gentle moves that give your body the information it needs to correct itself. So unlike something like chiropractor, whatever, where they manipulate you, there's no manipulation. It's kind of informing the body of the way that things are in the wrong place so that the body itself can make the corrections it needs to make.
And is that, I mean, this is intriguing and fascinating. Are you then being worked on by another working within your energy field or spiritual field or physical, mental, whatever? Or are you doing it? Are you giving yourself this kind of internal guidance? Or is it a bit
No,
of
it's
a.
a person. It's a person that works with the area of your body that's causing trouble. But they're doing these very subtle moves that actually allow the body to go, oh, hang on, something's not right there. Let me change that.
Okay, a bit like bit. I mean, it's probably not, but Alexander technique is something that I've experienced because I had a curvy spine, and that was not too dissimilar.
Yeah, I think that is a similar thing. It's one of those things where it's not kind of trying to force the body to do something.
You're more kind of Okay, thank you for that. This is fascinating. I want to get deep, more, much more deeply into this. We are going to have to cut to a commercial break because it's that time on the cycle. So, Pollyanna, stay with us. And to the listeners, this is commercial break. I'll see you back here in a moment.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith. I'm here with our show Lean Into Clean with Pollyanna Darling, who has written a book called Bedridden to Buff. We're just getting into the detail of it. Pollyanna, you went on this journey to get yourself better, to get yourself out of bed and back into a situation. You found a I can't remember what it's called now. What did you call it? Orthobionomy. I'm so sorry. It's not something I'm familiar with. So I did write it down. I can't even read my own writing. So you found a healing process that worked for you. How long did that, I mean, what was that, weekly, daily? You know, how long did that go on for?
I think I went every fortnight for a long time. And sometimes I couldn't even go for a whole session because I was in too much pain. I get partway through and I go, that's enough, Rob. You have to stop. My body's had enough.
Yeah. And did you have to get out of bed to go for this, or did that come to you, or what was it?
Oh, he came to me for a bit, but then my partner used to drive me over there and I'd sit on these funny old person cushions that have a cutout in them and hang on to the handle in the car, you know, the one that hangs down to try and keep my it was terrible. It was very unfun state.
What was the pain that you were feeling? Oh yeah, well, it sounds probably amusing. You can laugh about it now, but at the time it must have been awful. Was it that kind of pain where you kind of feel like you get a trapped nerves in your I don't know, can't quite describe it, but that excruciating type of pain
Just
that you can't
incredibly
move?
painful, yeah, in my lower back. Just incredibly painful in my lower back. And then because my lower back was out, it set off the other injuries that I had in my neck, and I had constant headaches, and was just not fun.
So I would describe something like this in the work that I've done, a kind of shamanic awakening, a kind of life-changing moment in your world. And that clearly was for you. I mean, you weren't, were you sporty before this all
No,
happened?
I wasn't
No,
at all.
no.
I've never been sporty. But the weird thing was I had two near-death experiences, one in 2009 from a ruptured ectopic pregnancy and one in 2015 from a bleed on the brain in Cuzco in Peru.
Oh my
And
God.
I'd kind of gone, oh, look, you know, I'm here still. You didn't get me, death. Here I am still. And I must be here for some reason. And then I ended up with this long, you know, years long healing process. And it was a bit of a shock,
I
actually.
mean, with hindsight, that, I mean, 2009, you know, perhaps wake up call opportunity number one. 2015, wake up call opportunity number two. And then clearly you had the accident, 2017. With hindsight, is there anything you could have learned from 2009 or 2015 that might have, you know, stopped you going through the 2017 process? Or was it just all kind
I
of...
don't think so. I mean,
No.
what I got out of the two near-death experiences was I realized that I'd been half-assing my life because of childhood trauma, basically. And so I hadn't taken the opportunities that I could have taken, and I was kind of living in this very muted way. And so I made a decision after the second time I nearly died to stop half-assing. But it takes a while to, you know, if you've spent 40 something years half-assing your life, it takes a while to stop doing that. You've got to undo a lot of patterning. And the piece that I hadn't looked at, which I kind of refused to look at really, was taking care of myself. I just wouldn't take care of myself. So I took care of my children and the garden and the animals and everything else, but I didn't take care of myself. And so that whole process of being bedridden and really having to do something to look after myself, where I felt guilty all the time. So I felt guilty about using our money to pay for orthobionomy for me. And I felt guilty about being in my bed and not being with my, like, I was just riddled with guilt the whole time.
Well, let's get into that. I mean, do you mind talk? You've mentioned the childhood stuff twice now, and I know our listeners are going, "Well, what happened? What happened?" But I mean, of course, I don't want you to, you say exactly what you feel comfortable with. But do you want to just give us a just kind of just give us a kind of however you feel you want to share what that childhood stuff was and how it's affected you to the point that it has that you've completely changed your life and turned it around? Because that's the that's what's going to be really interesting to our listeners, right?
I mean, I had a difficult childhood, where there was quite a lot of dysfunction, alcoholism, that kind of thing. And so there were ways,
In parents or in you?
no, in
In
parents.
pa yeah, okay.
And so there were ways where I was not looked after
Yeah.
as I should have been. And what happened through that experience was that I internalized this belief that I don't matter.
Yeah.
And so when anything would happen that, like when I had the car crash in 2012, I crashed into a stationary vehicle at 80 because I
Oh
was
my
turning around like
God.
80 kilometers an hour, not 80
You're a
miles.
miracle walking, aren't
I
you?
And I was turned around at the time because my baby was crying. So I kind of was in this twisted position and I slammed into this car suddenly and got this awful whiplash. And I didn't go to the hospital and nobody suggested I go to the hospital. And I remember sitting at home that night and my legs were like jelly because I think I must have been in shock. And I thought, well, maybe I should be at the hospital, but no one's saying I should be at the hospital, so it mustn't be that bad. Like I just thought it mustn't be that bad. If no one's taking care of me, it can't be that bad. So I did nothing. And then in 5 weeks later, I couldn't even get up out of bed.
Wow. So
Incredible.
you were so disconnected from loving yourself, essentially, that you just didn't even include the fact that you needed help because you were just so used to being on your own. I think many people will be able to relate to that. Perhaps not in as a traumatic way that you're speaking about, because of course everybody's experience is different. But thank you for sharing that. I mean, what's magical about this is literally the walking miracle that you are, and the fact that you've turned your life around, which I want to get into all this amazing, medal-winning stuff. But there's a bit between I still want to focus
Sorry.
on. But what I'd love to do, Pollyanna, at this moment, just take an opportunity to play your first record. So, as you know, we ask all of our guests to bring us a couple of songs that are soundtracks to either the climate crisis or, the way that you live in the world. You've chosen a couple of songs. Tell us the first song that you've chosen. Don't tell me why you've chosen it. We'll talk about it afterwards, but let's just tell us the song you've chosen and who it's by.
It's by Jonah's Policewoman, and I think it's called Magic.
Yes, it is. The Magic. The
The
Magic. Yeah.
magic, the magic.
So this is The Magic by Jonah the Policewoman. We're going to come back to Pollyanna and find out why she chose this song and get more into the detail. Enjoy the song. What a beautiful, beautiful song. Thank you for introducing me to that magic. Why did you choose that song, Pollyanna?
Because that's what I am always doing. I am always looking for the magic. That's my life. I feel like you can spend your life focused on what's wrong with it,
Yeah.
or you can go around looking for the magic. And when you look for the magic, it will surely find you.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. In fact, just to add to that, I mean, I agree. I'm really trying to invite wonder and magic even through my daily practice. I invite use the words, magic and miracles, etc. But there was just to share this with you, I did some work with the UNFCCC and the UN, and the head of technology at the UN during COP26. And he said to me that he was at a NASA just a few years ago, within the last 10 years or something, was at a NASA conference, and they were showing some slides about planet Earth and what NASA understood about planet Earth. And there was one particular slide, and it had loads of these kind of buzzwords on it about what kind of the, if you like, the consciousness of planet Earth. Then it went to the next slide at a different time scale, and he went, "Hold on a minute. Can you just go back to that previous slide?" He said, "Because there's something missing that was on the previous one that wasn't on, and the word was wonder." And
Oh.
NASA had recognized that wonder had literally been, conscious. We'd lost consciousness of this element of wonder and magic. And it feels to me, I don't know about you, but it feels to me like we are reconnecting with wonder and magics, especially those of us that are quite well practiced in the sacred arts and the tools that we have in the, I don't know, the shamanic or the mysticism or the spiritual or whatever you want to call it, that connection. So thank you for that. Let's bring in the magic. I love that. I want to talk to you a bit about your, I think if I remember reading your bio or some information about you, you've studied the alternative, the mysticism of the world, spirituality. Is that a word you would use?
Yeah, I guess so. I've just, because I've always been trying to understand how everything works and
Wow, that's some serious question to take on.
well, and I'm rubbish at physics and chemistry. I realized that early on. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to take another route. I'm going to have to take an esoteric route because
Nice.
I can't do that stuff. So because I've always been trying to kind of get to the bottom of it, and since So when after I died, nearly died in 2015, I made this promise to the earth that I would see it thriving. And so I, one of the things that I've been doing in terms of going down these spiritual or esoteric rabbit holes is looking for ways to tweak reality. Like, is it possible? And a lot of a lot of people who've gone down serious spiritual paths have gone down it for similar reasons, to see if there are ways to adjust or change the nature of reality. And I know that most of us know now that the nature of reality is not as it seems. There's an enormous amount more going on than we're aware of. We have the equipment that we have to interpret reality, our eyes and ears, and it's all quite gross in terms of what's possible. And so we're only kind of privy to a limited amount of information processing, and there's a huge amount out there. And so my pursuit of the spiritual and the esoteric has been to see if there might be ways to bring more health to the planet, to bring things to more thriving, because obviously we've done a fair old amount of damage through our unthinkingness.
Through our unconscious consumerism way of being. No, thank you for that. I mean, I could talk about this with you for hours because I'm very much in that space and had some similar experiences, childhood and wake up calls as well. Thankfully, not near death. I'm glad I haven't had that one. But okay, so
It's quite a good one because you come out of it not being afraid of dying at all.
you know what? I can totally relate to that, and I think for me certainly the pandemic in many ways was about that, was getting past fear and realizing that even though death is presented to us by the outside, by the media, by the mainstream, by everything, actually there was nothing to fear. Yes, of course it did kill some people. We know that. We lost a family member during that time, but actually. Yeah, no, fear is very much in the mind, isn't it? And you can really go down that rabbit hole in that way as well. So what were the golden nuggets? In fact, you know what? Let's hold that question. I'm going to have to go to another commercial break, but I do want to come back with the golden streams of consciousness that you brought back from the rabbit hole. But let's go to commercial break. We'll talk about those in a second.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here with Pollyanna Darling. We are getting right into it. We've just actually got on to going down the rabbit hole of the esoteric or the spiritual questioning and journeying, which I'm hoping many of you have had some of those experiences. And what I wanted to know is what were the golden streams of consciousness that you managed to bring back with you, Alice?
Well, I don't know how golden they are, but my conclusion from trying all sorts of different things, some of which were more successful than others, including things like planetary magic and hermetic alchemy and all sorts of stuff, is that you basically, your life is what you can get behind. Like, you can't make yourself believe certain things. So you got to kind of get, you got to get behind your beliefs. So if you want to change what's happening in your life, you need to basically come up with new things to believe, but you got to be able to believe them. So you got to back yourself. So it's no, and within that, you have to work with your own system. So, for example, one of the ways that I've operated in the last few years is to just sit with this question of can I? Can I, you know, can I paddle a paddleboard? Can I catch that person? Can I go paddling twice a week instead of once a week? Can I, you know, whatever it is, can I whatever? And sometimes you can't, and that's okay. And then when you can, it's delightful. But you've got to work with your own system. So you might be working with injuries, or you might be working with childhood trauma, or you might be working with some other kind of limitation of where you live or whatever. So we're, you know, we're bound to the planet and to the circumstances that we're in. But then if you look around you, there's always someone who has somehow transcended those circumstances and they're doing something else. And it's like, well, how are they doing that? And you know, I could be completely wrong. I am not claiming in any way to be an authority on
No, but
anything.
this is how it is for you. This is your truth.
Yeah.
So there is no right or wrong, is there?
Yeah. My truth is that if I examine what I'm walking around believing, I very often discover that it's very unhelpful.
Yeah.
And then I need to replace that with something that is more helpful, but that I can actually get behind. So it's no good going, you know, if you're injured and lying in bed going, you know, in 6 weeks I will be winning medals. Like, that just doesn't work because your whole system knows that that's not true. But it just doesn't work. But you could lie in bed and go, I am healing. I am healing, you know, and next week I'm going to be better than I was this week. Or next week I'm going to, you know, walk to the end of my driveway and back, even though I can't walk that far now. Like, and you can get behind that. You can go, oh, yeah, that I could do that. Or yeah, I'm healing instead of just languishing, whatever it is. So if you can replace, if you can look inwards and see what it is that you're believing, which you can always tell when it's something crappy because you feel bad, you know, you feel heavy or you feel bleh. You know, and then you can have a look and see what that is, and then replace it, deliberately replace it with something which feels really weird when you start. But if it's something that you can get behind, that you can go, yeah, okay, that could be possible. Yeah, I can roll with that. Then things start to shift. And yeah, and then within that, you've got to work with your unique body and your unique circumstances. And so, you know, I've had to work a lot with injury. I'm still working with injury, you know, like I still overdo it and end up in pain. But I've learned to trust my body's capacity to get back to a state of reasonable balance. And so even when I overdo it and hurt myself, I know I just got to hang in this for 2 or 3 days and it'll come right, you know, it'll sort itself out. And it does. And so, you know, I think as human beings, we always expect change to be instant, you know, or very quick. Whereas it's actually something that to me feels quite incremental. It changes over time, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And you've got to keep noticing those little bits. And then you look back and go, wow, I can't believe that I went from that to this. But it's that process that I'm describing, and a certain kind of stubbornness to not give up.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. I mean, you're such a ambassador for, for living and really connecting with I don't know, purpose is not quite the correct word, but kind of human purpose, like, that kind of that drive for us just to live the best version of ourselves. How
Yeah.
did you, I mean, how did you get the bug for the paddleboarding? Because, one minute I'm hearing you can't walk to the dustbin, the next minute I'm hearing you're winning silver and gold paddle. I mean, for those of you that haven't tried paddleboarding, firstly, try it. It's hard to stay on the board, let alone winning races. But was this in the sea or on rivers or in, was it calm waters or? In stormy waters.
2018, we were on holiday somewhere, and my kids and my partner at the time were all, riding bikes and surfing and swimming and doing all this stuff, and I couldn't do any of it. And I saw somewhere there was a someone was hiring stand-up paddleboards, and I thought, surely I can do that. I just have to stand up. I've just got to stand there. Anyway, I got on the paddleboard and I had it instantly. It was almost
Nice.
like did I do this in another life? I don't know, but I didn't fall
Okay.
in, and I loved being on the water. This was on a river, on the water with no motor, just me, just the water, the sky, the sea eagles. You can see the stingrays whizzing by on the sand underneath. And I did it for an hour and I loved it. And then my marriage ended in 2020, and it was a COVID casualty. And
Oh dear.
I for some reason, after that, even though I'd only been on a board for an hour, I decided to join the local stand-up paddleboard club, and I had nothing, no board, no leg rope, no paddle, and they lent me everything, and I just loved it. I just loved it.
Nice.
There's no other way to say it.
That's amazing. So you just really connected with something that just felt part of you, however that magic happened.
It
And
is actually
so,
quite wonderful. It is a wonderful sport, because the thing I didn't realize is that it deals with every muscle in your body, because you're standing and you're balancing and you're moving every muscle, and it's really good for your core. It built a whole lot of muscles up my back around the injuries that I had, so that they were supported. And you can be on the water and out in nature just under your own steam, and the birds don't fly away when you're on a paddleboard, and the fish swim by. And I've paddled with whales. It was quite extraordinary. It is a magical thing.
I mean, I can relate to it because I do have a paddleboard, and like you, I love it. It's the most, I don't know, particularly at this age where, strenuous exercise I can find, running and things that I can find a bit difficult, a bit tricky on the old joints, but paddleboarding, as you say, is really about core. And so that's amazing. So you connected with something that suddenly was regenerative in so many ways, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. But what made you want to enter races?
I was just doing my thing of can I? So when I started paddling, I'd go to a training session and I would be in pain for 5 or 6 days afterwards, like crushing headaches, pain in my back. And gradually over those 5 or 6 days, it would sort of come a bit better. And so I said to myself, well, when it gets down to 3 days of pain after paddling, I'm going to go a second session. And so then I started going to the second session, and the other people who were training would disappear off into the distance, and I'd have to catch them. And I thought, well, can I catch them? Can I get faster? And I got a lot of encouragements. People who sup are adventurous, generous people, and they're really supportive and really encouraging. And I found that to be the case all around the world. And so I got a lot of encouragement. And someone said, well, yeah, go on, try a race, see how you go. So I did. I went in my first race after a year and I won my category. And I was so shocked. I was so shocked. And I mean, I paid for it. I was in pain for 2 weeks after that. It was really not fun. But I went, oh, I can do this. I can do it. And then it sort of becomes a bit of a, it's like, well, can I do another race? And can I beat this person? And can I do that? And then it came to the national competition, and I was like, I'm not doing that. Who am I to go in a national competition for any sport? I've never been sporty. And a friend of mine just said, oh, go on, Pollyanna, go on, just do it, just do it.
Nice. Well,
And
great friend.
because I had made this decision to stop half-assing my life, and because I'm, the way that I live my life is you never know when you're going to die, because both times I nearly died, it was very sad. And so I want to get to the end of every day and go, yep, I can die now. I'm good with that. So I said yes, and I entered. It took me 2 weeks to press go on the registration. And I didn't think I'd do it. I didn't imagine for a minute that I'd get anywhere with it. But I went down there and I did my best and trained really hard for it and did all right.
You did more than all right.
So it's kind of delightful. It's like,
That's amazing. That's amazing. What an advert for life you are. Like, that's just incredible. I love that can I mantra as well. It's like, oh, can I? It's like I was always taught by my teacher, who was a female kind of shamanic indigenous to the UK teacher, and it was always just, Jarvis, just create a bit of space in your thinking about possibility. Is it possible? Can it be possible? And then create infinite possibility. So you always got that space without limitation. And that's the same as can I, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's literally like, I wonder, that word wonder again. I wonder if, I wonder. And you're creating that opportunity in your mindset, in your, even in your kind of cosmic, consciousness, the part that connects with everything. So amazing. I'm just gonna, we're running out of time, and it's just, I just want to share this bit of blurb for Pollyanna's book. It says, in this captivating and accessible book, Pollyanna shares her remarkable yet gentle transformation from being confined to bed in 2017 to winning medals in a national stand-up paddleboard competition. Her uplifting and vulnerable true story includes powerful alternative healing methods and pain management techniques, plus insights to help you change your relationship with pain. It gives you the tools you need to move beyond chronic pain and into life of vitality and gratitude, which we can absolutely hear in listening to Pollyanna. It says Pollyanna wrestled with chronic pain from multiple spinal injuries for over a decade. During this time, she raised four boys, published two books, coached many others to create lives they love. Her deep drive to understand the nature of reality and how to live a better life led her to research both conventional and alternative healing philosophies and try everything. She wrote this book as a response to the many, many people who asked how she'd manage the journey from bedridden to buff. Bedridden to buff is the title, very important. How do people get the book, Pollyanna?
It's available everywhere as an ebook. You can order a print version if you would like me to read it to you, which apparently is enjoyable. There is an
It's your
audiobook.
voice, is it? You've actually read it
Yes.
out. Nice. Oh,
So it's on
amazing.
in all the usual places where you would get a book online.
Okay, so you heard that. So you can go and buy the book, Bedridden to Buff by Pollyanna, darling. Pollyanna, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you as my guest. Thank you for, I know you're in England for a very short period of time, and we managed to get you for this date. So thank you for joining us. And I look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you so much, Jarvis. It's been lovely.
It has been lovely. Thank you. And well, that's it. It's nearly the end of the show. As you know, we always end the show with playing the song Save the World by yours truly. Every play, every download, every playlist you add it to, every time it gets played, we are raising money to donate to Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future, most affected people and areas. So these are often youths in difficult countries, difficult places. Is Global South, poorer countries. So this is Save the World by Jarvis Smith, featuring Rita Mora, raising money for MAPPA, Fridays for Future MAPPA. Enjoy. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Pollyanna. We'll see you this time next week. Thank you to UK Health Radio.